red taxis are the minibuses, you know, the green top and the red roof buses. We got these minibuses, 16-seaters, I think that's what they are. And then, of course, we've got the Star Ferry, an icon that's sticking around. Thank you. We really appreciate that. Going back and forth to Harvard. Then the double-decker buses, and, of course, our MTRN system. We're very, very blessed in Hong Kong. But I can't wait to have a ride on this one, huh? The high-speed train. Forget all the politics, but let's get on this boat and or this train and see how fast it goes, you know? Have you rode the fast train in China? It's kind of fun, isn't it, at times? But how do we travel in DB? Well, a little simple here, you know. We've got the hired car, the double-decker bus, and the golf cart, and, of course, the ferry back and forth. For years, as a missionary to Chinese churches, we had the privilege of driving a light ace van. And if you don't know what a light ace van is, it's that Toyota there. And I always felt ashamed because I go to hockey practice, and I would see my friends pull up in their Mercedes and their BMWs, and I had the light ace van. But then when I got here, I said, only millionaires ride in light ace vans, right? So don't be ashamed of light ace vans. How many of you miss driving? Anybody miss driving out there? A few people, right? But how do people travel in the U.S., you know? So I think we all know that you got to have your personal automobile. But how do you choose? Which one, you know? So Bonnie and I are thinking about this one. Which one? Well, I thought, well, maybe the best way is we see their sales slogans. That will help us narrow it down, right? I mean, so many good cars out there. And so auto slogans, this is what comes out. Ford says, everything we do is driven by you. That feels kind of nice, doesn't it? How about Chevrolet? Find new roads. Okay, new exploration in life. We're going to go to something new, not the old. BMW, sheer driving pleasure. Now that's big enough. Some fun there, right? How about Toyota? Let's go places. Let's don't stay at home. Let's go places. Okay. So I like Hondas though. The power of dreams. Don't you like Hondas, Bonnie? Okay. But the Mercedes-Benz, engineered to move the human spirit. Man, how could you? I forgot that one. Volvo. I'm not going to go through all of them. That's it. Okay. But the one that really spoke to my heart was Dunkin' Donuts. So what does that have to do with driving? Well, it says America runs on Dunkin'. So anyway, forget the cars. Just eat donuts. Okay. But how do we travel to heaven? That's the question. You know, you're on your way. You came to faith in Christ. You're on your way. But how are we going to travel? And that's where it leads to this walking in holiness, this whole theme about how to enjoy the journey from here to there is walking in holiness. And we want to unpack that. Holiness is the only way to travel. And that's going to be found as we continue our study in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 25. And that's printed out in your bulletin. It's there for you. If you want to follow along in your electronic devices, that's fine too. Holiness is the only way to travel, and this is the Word of God. And Lord, help us hear what you're saying to us today. First, I'm going to talk about verse 13, the mindset of holiness. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, is referring to those first 12 verses that he just introduced us to last week as we began the study of 1 Peter. And that is that true hope we saw in the first 12 verses of 1 Peter is a hope that is for every believer. It's a living hope. We have a living God who gives us a living hope to get us through life. It has a sure inheritance. Nothing can destroy that inheritance that is yours and mine in Christ. It's waiting for us. It's good. It's more than we could ever imagine. But true hope also invokes this joy because I understand the suffering that I'm going through now and through faith that somehow this suffering is working into me character qualities. And the suffering that I experience now can't be compared with the glory that awaits. It's incomparable, the suffering now and the glory to come. It's that kind of a faith, suffering, and joy, this hope. But it was focus of the prophets and the focus of the angels. But we're not going to go look at all those verses, but that was what we looked at last week about hope. So prepare your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope where? Fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's more grace to come, guys. Mountains will shake. It's gonna come. You know, what's it gonna be like? Well, some guys made it look like this, all right? This is an artistic expression of Christ's return. But if you ever see most artistic expressions of Christ's return, the expression on people's faces, oh no, he's back. No, they're very happy, right? Because the chains have been completely undone. And in just a few minutes, this group down here, and you and I, if we're so lucky to see you still alive and God comes back, no matter, when you're ushered from death to life, from life to death, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You don't have to fear to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord is a great, great, good thing. But when this happens and your body starts to change and becomes an eternal vessel, no disease, that's going to feel great. That's going to be fantastic. This grace is yet to come. Put your hope in that. Yes, it's suffering. It's hard right now. But, you know, Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, everything, every tear, every disease, all this suffering is gone now. It's nothing but glory. So prepare your minds for action, being sober-minded. So this whole thing about this mindset of holiness is that, I just don't think about it. Well, no, now I'm going to do life because I know what? Christ is coming back. It's a sure hope. And there's still something a lot better. And do you ever go to the gym? I go to the gym. I look around and I see there's older people like me. But then occasionally you get this one beautiful person comes in, male or female. I mean, they're just, you wonder, are they real? They don't seem to have a blemish on their skin, their hair is nice, and, you know, they've got hair. But they're just beautiful creatures, and you wonder, are they angels? No. They're going to change. You're going to change. We're going to age. We're going to die. But I got my mind. I got this mindset of holiness that you know what? My hope is on Christ coming again. And now how I approach life, even when I go to a gym, my mind is set for action. It's not just something I hold as a personal inner belief system. No, it impacts me. You know the expression, he's too heavenly minded, he can't be any earthly good. Lord, it's a wrong view. If you've got really good heavenly mindset, you will be of ultimate earthly good. And let's unpack that a little bit. But first of all, when we think of holiness, we need a mindset. What comes in the following verses, 14 to 16, the focus is on the call of holiness. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Obedient children. Children of God. Keeping that humble attitude, but calm. And what does this mean? How do you obey? Well, you don't let these old passions of your former ignorance mold and shape you. Remember the desires of the world are passing away. My little chart I put up there about, you know, you got pleasure idols, you can have possession idols, reputation idols, but it all comes from desires to enjoy something, desires to have something, desire to be something. And when these desires aren't submitted to Christ, they become worldly passions and these of ignorance, and they think, well, I just have them, these desires, so I might as well just let them rule my life and shape my life. But no, as obedient children, we bring these desires, we recognize them, and lay them at God's feet. I'd like to have a car. I'd like to buy a new one. My friends say, don't buy a new one, that's stupid. My wife says, don't buy a new one, that's stupid. And I say, buy a new one's good. What do you say, Lord? Yeah, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Yeah, I need, my wife and I, we need to come to an agreement. I can't go and say, I'm buying this Rolls Royce whether you want me to or not, you know? You know, you can't do that. You have to submit desires. Now that's a car is one thing, but you've got desires operating from the moment you got out of bed today. All kinds of desires for pleasure, desires to even perhaps go shopping today. I don't know, buy something, get something this week, it's on your list. But don't be disobedient, children, and be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. No, no, no. Now I know that these desires are God-given. I'm not supposed to suppress them, as my Buddhist friends say, and say that when I get rid of desires, then I'll enter nirvana. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, yes, I have this desire, Lord. Now, what do you want me to do with it? So I'm not to be conformed, but as obedient children, I bring these passions or these desires in my heart before Him. But look, be holy, for I am holy. Yeah, I say no to this, but I say yes to that. I'm going to be holy. Why? Because He's holy. He's calling me to be holy, to be totally His. And that's the whole thing of bringing the desires to Him, to be His. You shall be holy, for I am holy. This is echoed throughout the Old Testament, beginning in Leviticus and throughout. You will see this call of a holy God to His people are always to do what? Be holy, for I am holy. We have been set apart to be holy for our Holy Father. If you're still having a little hard time on this holiness bit, we do not belong to our desires, but to the Father. We're totally His. So we've got this hope, mindset of holiness, that my hope is fully put on the Christ coming. And then I've got this call of holiness, that's my being, what I'm on earth to do. Some of us are having career changes, or have recently gone through career changes. And that's important, that we each sensitively listen to God. Where do you want me to work? Wherever you work, you've got this primary calling to be God's child, to be wholly His. So whether I go to Norwich or the Citadel, I'm picking on somebody in this room, it makes no difference. But I, what makes a difference is that I'm wholly God's. God, where do you want me? I've already tried to tell this individual, but then we're having good fun. Okay. So you got this call. You got this. I'm going to live a life as obedient children. So what does that mean? Well, there's got to be some kind of parent out there, and it's the Father of holiness. If you don't catch anything today, I hope you'll leave with this whole thing about the Father of holiness. Because He's the one who said, be holy, for I'm holy. Okay, now let's listen to the Father, where it talks about the Father in these next few verses, 17 through 21, what I entitled the Father of Holiness. And if you call on Him as Father, our Father who art in heaven, not my Father, but our Father collectively, as all believers throughout history, we've got a Father God. We call on Him. Who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Now, He's judging my deeds, He's judging your deeds on the basis of how holy we are, how entirely separate we are. You know, does he have my money? Does He have my family? Does He have my ambitions and my profession? Does He have all that? And He's watching my deeds, and when everything is over, He will do what? He's going to judge me according to my deeds. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about judgment of the children of God. How obedient have we been? Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, and with that in mind, We are to conduct ourselves with fear throughout the time of our exile, or here, the second person, throughout the time of your exile, conduct yourselves with fear. Do you get this fear of God thing? We talk about it. Well, I know when I was growing up, I wanted to do okay on my report card, right? Because if you came home, you did do okay, it wasn't pleasant, right? I'm going to imagine most of you were like me. You did okay, A's and B's, that kind of stuff. Maybe we got a few in here that were very naughty, okay? I won't make you raise your hand. But anyway, but my thing was conduct. I had a hard time with conduct. I like to talk. I mean, from grade one on, I think through high school, I always got C's in conduct because I was talking, cutting up, doing something, having fun. But I remember there was one point in my life where I got rewards. I got a dollar for every A and B. If I didn't do well in conduct, I didn't get any of them. That kind of thing. So what's going on? Yeah, well, God is looking at my deeds. And so that way, yeah, I got to conduct myself with fear throughout my time, my exile. Some of you, and I fall in this trap too. Okay, we all do. We think this is the only thing that is about life, is right now. We're going to be here forever, right? Working, raising family. You know, we'll go through the whole cycle. So we're going to be here forever. We're not going to die. And we just lose it that this is not our home. The earth is not our home. Heaven is. Okay? Heaven is. So we're exiles. We're kind of wandering around the planet right now. But while we're doing our exiling, we got to remember to fear God. Yeah? Regarding the whole thing about rewards he's going to judge us about, and the real good stuff, the real payday is to come, if you will. The real bonus is to come. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Now, a lot of Bible guys think that this one is referring to this group who's in exile up in that northern Turkey area, that those modern day Turkey, those guys up there were Gentiles, because it's talking about this feudal ways inherited from your forefathers. Whether you're legalistic Jews or lawless idolatry worshippers, those people were ransomed from their feudal ways inherited from their forefathers. Just like you and I. Now, many of us come from good Christian homes, and we praise God for that, and the grace of God has flown through our parents to us. But many of us don't, right? And we can look back and see that our forefathers were either lost in legalism or lost in lawlessness. They didn't know Christ. They weren't friends of God through faith in Christ. But we have been. So if you want to fear God, yeah, he's going to check me out and give me these things at the end according to my deeds. But you know what? If I want to really fear God, I got to understand that I've been ransomed from futility, from living a life that it doesn't matter if you have a relationship with God. All that matters is you do life now, enjoy it now. There's nothing after life. Just do it now. As God really said. No, we've been ransomed from such futile way of life. You and I have been ransomed means we've been paid for. We don't belong to ourselves. But it wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold. I mean, we haven't been bought like a slave of old and freed in the Roman Empire. You give us some gold and coins and silver coins and we'll purchase you. No. We as Christians have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. And when we sing of God's holiness in our songs, even today, we intermingle this image of a lamb, because it's pointing to that there's only one way that we can get ransomed and freed from the entanglement to sin, and that is what? The blood of Christ. So we're redeemed only by the blood of Christ. And that's why we have artworks like this, and the Lamb, and the Christ on the cross. Passover being reflected, all those hundreds of years where at every Passover there was a sacrificial lamb brought, a lamb without blemish or spot. So you want to fear God? You want to know a little bit about God? Keep in awe that we have been purchased out of futility. We don't belong to ourselves, but He's purchased us through the blood of His Son. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, this Lamb of God who was slain, known before the foundation of the world. This is what's been kind of driving my prayers today with the worship team and before, and even in our worship prayer here, is that this whole thing about the Christ who would come and redeem the world was in God's mind, was His purpose before the creation. But was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through Him are believers in God. So you've got this no creation, no earth. But before there's an earth, God has already ordained, thought about doing what? I'm going to save the world. And you know who that world's going to include? James. And it's going to include you who've come to faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone throughout this planet today, and everyone throughout the planet, for all of its history, who has come to true faith in Christ, to God, through Christ. He planned that life before He created it. So I don't fear the lack of rewards. But what I fear is this awesome God who is so much bigger than I could ever think about, thought of me and thought of you. I hope you find that the fear of God is very comforting. But He's more big than anything you and I can reduce. We can't. But if we're going to travel the road of holiness, and we listen to the Father of holiness, He wants us to know, hey, look, you don't belong to yourself. I bought you with the precious blood of Jesus. But look, this wasn't an idea. I just saw it happen. I said, oh, yeah, let's do it. No. Before He even created the world, I had this plan for you, the Holy God. He raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. This Jesus we love, raised from the dead and gave Him the glory. Most artists, when they paint Jesus, he's got this kind of white light around Him, right? After resurrection. And you know, we think, well, that's the glory, right? But I often thought that. As a kid, I thought that. How about you? Do you ever think that? What's this glory that God gave? I don't know. Well, I like this number 8 there with the hard hat on. That's me or whatever. No, I guess I'm the bald-headed guy with a sweater. But anyway. You, and you've heard me say this, are the glory of God. Now we give glory to God, we receive glory from God, but in Christ we have the hope of glory, and that glory of being changed into perfect, eternal sons and daughters. You are the glory, and I am the glory of Jesus, who for the glory set before Him endured the pain and suffering of the cross, because He knew that this is purchasing a people for God. So let's fear God, the Father. Awesome. Not being afraid, but wow. So how can I not live a holy life and understand the Father's great love for us? And finally, that's the whole reason that He's saying this, that the Father has called us, the Father has ransomed us from the foundation of the world. He had this, that your faith, James's faith, you put your name in there, your faith and hope are in God. Right? not in a person, not in a self, not in an institution, not in a group of people, but in God. And finally, we're going to look at the word of holiness. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. This purify yourself is actually the adverb, the verb form of the word holy. Holy is the noun, and if we wanted to translate it, it's having holinized your souls. Having holied your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. Now, Jesus said, you know, if you're truly my disciples, you'll continue my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We're familiar with that, right? And by the way, it's time for a plug. The February Living Life is on the table today. So if you have to leave and you can't stay for the Q&A, pick one up on your way out. And after the Q&A, don't forget, pick up this month's copy, okay? So if you love me, you'll do what? If you're truly my disciple, you'll stay in my word, and the truth will set you free. And, you know, he told us, he gave us a new commandment. Remember the new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. Purified our souls to this obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. And that's the word Philadelphia right there, guys. And is that a sign for the Super Bowl Philadelphia Eagles win? No. Sorry, Steve, about Minnesota. But we're being holinized. We're understanding this call to be holy, for I'm holy. It includes this awesome awe of God, this God who, before he created the world, had this mind to save me. I got all this stuff going on, but you know, he wants me to be holy, to be totally his, and to stay in the word and let that word make me more like Christ. For what reason? To love you. That's the litmus test. Brotherly love. Then he goes on to that agape love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Earnestly with your total being. Love one another. So holiness isn't about me going to become a hermit and live in a cave and meditate all day. No, holiness is me becoming aware that this call, this empowerment through the Word of God and through looking to the Holy Spirit to fill me daily is what? It's going to result in love. Yeah, in my household. In my neighborhood, and in my church, in my workplace. God didn't just save us so we don't go to hell. He saved us so we can love. And that's the way to travel between now and when we get to heaven. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. We became spiritually alive because somewhere we heard the Word of God. We heard the Gospel. And we became believers. I like that illustration. It kind of reminds me of Matthew 13, the parables of the soils and the seeds. And when we, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When the Word of God, it comes to our ears, and the Holy Spirit makes it work in our heart. Yes, Jesus did die for me. Wow, he rose again from the dead for me. And he's coming again. He's giving me the Holy Spirit to live now as I wait for that revelation of him. He's got more grace for me. It's, wow. I'm born because of the Word of God. Spiritually reborn. And that's why we talk about, I'm a born-again Christian. That's where we get that phrase. And you can look at John 3, look at Nicodemus asking, how can we be born again? And Christ tells him, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. And the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that's a quote from Isaiah 40. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, that God saves sinners through Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to the Son of God to die on the cross for you and me, rose to heaven, gave Holy Spirit, and he's come again to judge the living and the dead. This gospel, and create a new heaven and earth. This gospel, you've heard. In the meantime, when Isaiah said this to its actual reality and even the present reality of 2018, who's come and gone? Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, Roman Empire. Napoleon had something from France. Was he from France?
Yes.
you can look at them. Ottoman empires. What was that thing from the UK called? The big expansion, the Commonwealth thing, what do they call that? The British Empire, I think is all they call it, right? Wow! They all fell! What about the American Empire? Ooh, get a little close to me now, James. Don't pick on me now. How about the China Empire? Of course. Where are the emperors today? How about the Communist Empire, the Muslim empires? But the Word of God lasts forever. And if you want to get excited, you read Isaiah 40 on, and you're going to see the theme is the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, who comes to die, the suffering servant, so that he might save you and me. This plan was from the beginning of time. How can we not be but holy people? Be holy, for I'm holy. This Word of God will not change. I don't know how to react. Holiness is the only way to travel. I've got to have this mindset. I'm going through my actions, what I'm going to do today as a parent, what I'm going to do today as a husband or a wife, what I'm going to do today as a believer or a member of this community of faith is regarding holiness. I'm going to have a life of obedience. I'm living this fear, this awesome God has me here in this place, in this point, in this time of history to love people here and outside of these four walls in Discovery Bay. Okay, so what? What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Caleb to make a decision on where to go to Citadel, Norwich, you know. Caleb's got to wait for mom and dad to go check things out, come back. You know, what are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? I feel safe picking on you guys, okay? I'm not so sure if I pick on the rest of you. It's too transparent. But what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for June 29th to get on the airplane and go back, and I'll be with my friend. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to this kind of things, you know? And I'm beginning to wonder, where will we live? You know, what car will I drive? Okay, all that kind of stuff I start thinking about. Wait for it. But I've got to ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, are you waiting for the revelation of Christ? Does that excite you? I envy Norman Meisdorf. He's got two more little grandchildren came in the last few weeks. That makes Christy an auntie twice over. You know, all these things are happening, you know, and I kind of like to stick around and see my sons or daughter have children, you know, that'd be kind of nice. But you know, something even nicer, better, is the return of Christ. What am I waiting for? What is my hope set on? Who am I serving now? Yeah, my body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. So I'm sold out for Christ. Whether I go do this, do I go to school? You know, who am I serving? My parents, I better make good grades or they're going to get mad. You know, no. Who am I serving? I'm serving Christ at school. I'm serving Christ in the workplace. Yeah, James, I got to go to work to earn money to keep my house payments and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we got to work. But who do I work for in the workplace? I'm a holy man. I'm a holy woman. So whether I'm a homemaker or I'm a professional, it makes no difference where I am, but I'm serving the Christ. Does the fear of God, what does it mean to you? Really, Andy, you got to answer that one. But if I look at the scriptures today, and I'm not trying to twist them in any way, but it's this awe of who this great God had me in his plan before the creation of the world. How could I go about life not living for him? Yeah, he's going to come. He's going to reward me according to the deeds I've done. His fear. Oh, he's so loving toward me, but why? Why? He's all-powerful, mighty God. How's your love life? And you know, I'm not talking about boy-girlfriend things here. No? I'm talking about, should we give everybody a big group hug or something? Now, how's your love life? Are you finding some people difficult to love? It could be the church family, it could be the family. It could be the workplace. It could be a neighbor. May the Holy Spirit give you and I that cleansing refreshment that we desperately need as we stay in his word. To learn how to love as we should love, as Christ loved. To give our lives for our friend. Let's pray, and we'll stop here for today. Father, I thank you for Peter. It's an apostle of hope. And you know, my friends who are present this morning, the struggles they're having in life. And I know the apostle, as we go through this your word, Lord, and the other chapters, are going to take us back into suffering and looking at it. And you see the suffering that my friends are going through here, whether it's regarding their job, their family, their health. I pray that they would grab strength from you. Most of all, Lord, may they and may I and my worship team here behind me right now, may we be a people who hear that call to holiness, who keep a mindset of holiness, who understands that this is what it means to be a child of God, because our Father is holy. He wants us to be holy and to understand that he has us on his heart.